There is a kind of a running theme among the Old Testament prophets that the real place to find God is the desert. And it recalls the wilderness years, those 40 years in the wilderness when they were fed by God, their thirst was quenched by God, they were formed by God directly. They didn't have the distractions of the settled city life to take them off the path, but they were just out there alone with God, and so they became God's people. And this was, of course, on the journey, on the way from Egypt to the Promised Land. So the wilderness is, it's the place where you find God. It's the pure place of holiness, oneness with God. But it's also the journey, it's the travel through, it's the pilgrimage on the way to something more than that, to a settled place, your own homeland, Israel, your own capital, Jerusalem, in which God will dwell with his people forever. And so when the prophets are disgusted with what's happening in the city, either in Babylon or in Jerusalem. And, you know, Babylon and Jerusalem, they're kind of metaphors for, you know, the bad city, the secular city is Babylon. It's the place of evil. It's where the distractions of the world have overtaken our concern with God. And Jerusalem, metaphorically, it wasn't always really this, but metaphorically, Jerusalem is the place where God dwells. This is God's holy mountain, that Jerusalem is built on. And that's where the temple is, and that's where you find God, and that's where you're one with God. Unfortunately, there were bad kings of Israel, and so it wasn't always a pure history there. So Isaiah, who is our Advent prophet, you know, we read from Isaiah all the way through Advent, and he is living in the time of the exile and the return from the exile. And Christian authors look back on a lot of the things he said, and they see the Messiah here, and they see Christ there. And so we Christians have attributed a lot of what Isaiah said specifically to Christ. But he was writing 500 to 600 years before Christ. He didn't know much about the Messiah. That wasn't his concern. His concern was the new exodus, the return from Babylon to Israel. The first exodus was from Egypt to Israel. The second new exodus is from Babylon to Israel. But they're very similar, and Isaiah sees the pattern there. And so he's talking about this pilgrimage journey in which the people are going to be allowed to go back home and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And so he sees two things happening there. One is he's crying out to the people, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. In other words, this is something that the people need to be doing. They need to be firm in their resolve. They need to decide to return to Jerusalem. They need to decide to rebuild the city. But at the same time that that's happening, God is leveling the mountains and raising up the valleys and creating a smooth, flat highway for them to travel on. So it's God's action and their action coming together. And so, isn't that true about all of our relationship with God? We recognize in our humility that God is really finding us more than we're finding God. You know, St. Augustine said, I was out there looking for you, and all this time you were in here. God is always present to us. We sometimes go out looking for God, but God has never been absent. You know, sometimes we pray, come down, O Lord, as if God weren't always here. God has never been absent from his creation, and especially from his beloved people. So, Advent is the coming together. It's the coming of Christ to us, and it's our coming to him. And it's interesting to me that the opening prayers for last Sunday and this Sunday, last Sunday it was, may nothing get in the way of your people running to meet your Christ. with this urgency and almost a fun running to meet him. And today, may no earthly concerns get in the way of our hastening toward Christ. So there, here again, it's our journeying to him at the same time that he's journeying to us. God takes on human flesh. God is incarnated in Jesus. And we hear the announcement of that from John the Baptist in the gospel today. So God is emptying God's self and coming down so that we can go up. God took on our humanity so that we could take on God's divinity. This wonderful exchange of human and divine natures. So the incarnation is about inviting us to come into him. Again, St. Augustine says about the Eucharist, when you eat something, you digest it and it becomes a part of your body. It goes into you. So when we consume Christ in the Eucharist, that happens. But what's more important is that not only does he come into me, but I go into him. He is not transformed into me. I am transformed into him. And that's the coming that Advent is really interested in. Yes, Christ is coming. He's coming again. He came 2,000 years ago. The incarnation is a reality in the cosmos all the time. God is always emptying God's self and coming into created reality. That's just a given. It's a constant. The ungiven, the unconstant, is me. So these valleys that have to be raised and these mountains that have to be lowered, maybe those are my mountains, not the deserts. What are the mountains that I am putting up between myself and God? If God is always present to me, why am I not present to God? What are the blockages? What are the resistances? What are the fears that I use to push him away? There's something kind of scary about Christ coming into me. I would rather push him into the tabernacle where I can access him when I'm in the mood. But to consume him and to take him with me wherever I am and to become his body, the living sacrament of Christ. Wow, that's almost overwhelming. We don't know how to handle that. St. Paul, in that second reading, reminds us that Christ is ever coming. It's always a present. And so he says, don't be pushing it off to the end, to the last days. Don't be pushing it off to some distant future. Accept it now and live holy and blameless lives for the day of his coming. Be prepared in that way. Live holy and blameless lives. And there again, we have a tendency to push that away and say, I'm not worthy. I'm not able to do that. I'm a sinner. I'm weak. I'm busy. You know, I have all kinds of things to do. I have things that preoccupy me. And that's that opening prayer again. May the distractions of our duties of this world not get in the way of our hastening toward him. So Advent is that time to reflect a little bit more deeply about that. You know, a lot of people go to confession during the Advent season. And this would be a good examination of conscience. What are my resistances to his being in me now? What are the blockages? What are the mountains that I have pushed up in front of me so that he can't get to me? What are the ways that I am unwilling to go to him? Then Christmas can really be a celebration of the incarnation. God in human flesh, in my flesh, in our flesh, the enfleshment, the incarnation of God in the world.